Dr. Show!
You have all made it through the dance. You have all made it.
Coming to you from the X-Access, it's John of All Trades with your host, John X.
Welcome to 2015 and the John of All Trades podcast. I'm your host, John X. Thank you for joining us. Glad to have you back once again. We kick off a brand new year of shows. It's 2015. 2014 is done. It's now time for a new year, time for new beginnings, new start, new shows, all sorts of good shit happening right now. We're kicking off 2015 with a bang. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad to see 2014 go. I had my fill of 2014. Granted, on October 27th, my daughter was born. That was awesome. That was fantastic. That is literally one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And I don't know if you listened to the show last week, but I resolved to make these intros a little bit more interesting. If you're new to the show, if you're here for this week's guest, welcome. Glad to have you. I already said all that. That is stuff that I don't need to repeat. But October 27th last year, my daughter was born. I was just upstairs before I recorded this, and we had her in the bumbo seat. Now, if you've never seen a bumbo seat, it's basically like a little hard plastic thing for babies to sit in so they build their neck strength and get used to sitting upright. And it is singularly the most adorable piece of furniture you will ever see in your life because your baby sits there and they look like the tiniest little person you've ever seen. Now, granted, she was tiny when she was born, but they're kind of like little pink erasers at that point. They're like broiled chicken. They just sort of lay there and don't really do much. They just sort of cry. But now she's starting to smile. She's starting to have more personality. And she just sits upright, and it's goddamn the most charming thing I think I've ever seen. So was doing that. That was the best thing to happen in 2014, by far and away. That was just amazing, and I can't wait to see what comes in 2015. The rest of 2014, I was happy to premiere this show. This show really sort of kept me going in a lot of cases. It was something that I really looked forward to. Otherwise, this year had some challenges, and I'm happy to look ahead here in 2015. So cheers to you. Thanks for joining us. I have great shows coming to you in 2015, and it all starts right now this week with my guests. Rob Knight McEwen, Russ Esposito, and Julio Trujillo. Together, collectively, they are known as the Slump Busters. Now, what the hell am I talking about, the Slump Busters? What? They are a pub quiz team, and I would argue they are the most fearsome pub quiz team in Denver, possibly even the country. These guys have won Geek Bowl once. They've finished second like four times. They've won all three Rumbles in the Pub here, and they have a great team. And we get into, where did they meet? How did they meet? Now, the person who introduced them, I think, still laments it, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But this kicks off a series, and I wanted to kick off 2015 with something that I absolutely adore, and something that I absolutely adore is Geeks Who Drink pub quizzes. I've been playing these for years, probably played every week for, I don't know, like 3 years maybe. We were going pretty regularly. We went all the time. I love this company, and coming up, they are having Geek Bowl 9. And this is all building up to that. So Geek Bowl 9 is coming up on Saturday, February 7th at the Isleta Resort and Casino in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can get tickets at geekswhodrink.com. Just follow the link to Geek Bowl and it'll take you to a place where you can buy tickets and a place with the FAQ. Now, one of the things that you will want to know, and this is important, the Dan Band is going to be there. The motherfucking Dan Band is playing Geek Bowl this year. The Dan Band, if you're not familiar with them, if that name doesn't ring a bell, you remember them from old school, right? Singing Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler. I fucking need you more than ever. Those guys, right? They were also in The Hangover, at the end of The Hangover. I take you to the candy shop. That one, right? They're playing Geek Bowl. They're going to be there. And Geek Bowl is awesome. It's like a geek bacchanal. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be building up to Geek Bowl. We're talking to a pub quiz team, we're talking to a quiz master, we're talking to a question writer, and their main editor. Also, spoiler alert, he's a six-time Jeopardy champion, and we talk about that too. That's going to be a kick-ass episode. And then we conclude by talking to the founder of Geeks Who Drink, John Dicker. Now, I've already had all these conversations, so I am beyond excited to bring them to you. They're going to be fantastic. So, the month of January, dedicated all to Geeks Who Drink. Make sure to check out Geeks Who Drink at geekswhodrink.com. They are on the web. They're in like 35 states. They have something like 700 quizzes. So every night of the week, pretty much except Friday, you should be able to find a quiz more or less in your area. Obviously started here in Colorado. We'll get into the origin story when we talk to Dicker and some other folks later on down the line. But if you're into pub quiz, if you're into drinking, if you're looking for a reason to just get out and you feel awkward in bars or socially just in general like I do, this is a great way to get out. So go to geekswhodrink.com, check it out. And as long as you're on the web checking stuff out, check me out on Facebook. I am at facebook.com/JOATpod. That's also my Twitter handle, twitter.com/JOATpod. And as long as we're here, let's pay some love to our sponsor, 4 Degrees. Here's their web address, the number 4, DEGRE.ES. They provide hosting, web services, web design, all sorts of stuff for the John of All Trades podcast, and we adore them for it. I'm happy to plug them every time we do one of these shows. The number 4, DEGRE.ES. So, let's get to this week's episode. We have Russ, we have Evil Rob, and we have Julio all sitting in my kitchen. This is kind of a long one, but you get four sort of dorky guys together, and we all start talking. We digress quite a bit. We talk about Tebow. We talk about the state of Florida and how fucked up it is. We talk about their philosophies of pub quiz, the chilling effect that the Slump Busters can have, the origin of the name. There's a fucking lot in this episode, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. I'm pleased to bring it to you. This is episode 42. It is the first episode of 2015 of the John of All Trades podcast, and it begins right now.
I didn't get to sneak outside this time, damn it.
That's weird to me.
Sure, yeah, this is good stuff. Really? I don't normally like IPAs, but
It's a white IPA, so yeah. It's wheat, you know. Yeah. So it's a little sweeter.
Yeah. A large heat.
Yeah, no, he was in the Mitchell Report.
If you want to put your stuff down, you can put it in that chair right there.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I would actually prefer if he held it.
He's going to stand and he's going to hold it. God damn it.
Too polite.
Yeah, there was a friend of my mom's when I was really little. They were doing some kind of work project, and I had to like go over there and do a sleepover while they did this. They had two cats. The small one was bigger than Jack's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the big one was about 35 pounds and was named the Cat That Ate Tallahassee.
It's a quality name.
That's a fantastic name.
Cats are funny. I mean, they'll be Garfield.
Yeah, he's supposed to be big. He's half Maine Coon. He's got the six toes.
Yeah, I was noticing that. I was like, what?
No, he's got two thumbs. So he's supposed to be a big kitty. He's actually small for the breed. And then Finn, who's over here, is just fat.
Yeah, I noticed he didn't get off the chair much.
He didn't give a shit.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to hang out on my blanket in the sun. That's all I need.
That's what he likes.
Yes.
Jax, meanwhile, is a total ham.
Oh, yeah.
But I train myself to hold the baby because he's very... and he'll hang like this all day. Isn't that right?
If your baby doesn't try to scratch your face off.
Those are some mitts.
Well, he's got six toes. He's got two thumbs on each...
Yeah.
On each paw. So, yeah, he's a polydactyl.
Yeah.
If you've ever been down to Key West, Hemingway has a whole... house full of them. Hemingway was obsessed with six-toed cats. Isn't that right? He doesn't use his claws, but he'll hit you.
Okay, two punch.
Set me down.
You guys want to have a seat? I only have two mics, but you can move them.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and keep sitting here, I guess.
You already have your chair there, buddy.
Yeah.
Snag this coaster.
So yeah, we got those in Austin down on South Congress.
Oh yeah.
Oh cool.
And
This is the graffiti on the wall.
Yeah.
This is in Austin actually. So.
Oh no shit.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Alright, dudes.
Got this
button.
Right,
you
too.
Start learning some curse words, baby.
dude, seriously, she's well covered in that regard.
Yeah, good.
Living
that's
in
what
this
I like
house.
To hear.
Yeah.
Oh, we watched Maggie Mays movie on there. Remember?
Maggie. Yeah, that one's on 6th.
Is that the one with the, was that the teeter totter?
That one's got a
No.
Where Rob was on the teeter totter?
Oh, no, that was like the, that was that one, what was that place called?
I don't remember.
The Brickyard or something?
Oh, it was, yeah. I think it was
where called you met your friend.
Bricks, yeah. And then y'all got offended by lecherous quizmasters that were like cooking.
Oh, yeah.
That was his girlfriend. He was like, why are all these guys here with a girlfriend?
Hey, bring a girl to quiz.
Yeah, you know Jesse Brake, right?
I know of him.
Me and him were on a teeter-totter at this place. This giant cast iron.
It was a big teeter-totter.
Nice.
Yeah. These guys.
And I was like up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 6 feet up in the air on this thing.
And you're a big dude.
Yeah.
That,
I mean, I'm three bills.
Yeah.
Jesse's also a big dude.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Jesse's not who I'm thinking of then. Usually dudes named Jesse, I'm picturing like Jesse Camp. You know, remember that VJ?
Oh, yeah.
Cracked out little guy with the picture weird fucking hair.
You know, there's guys working on their hair all the time.
Right. Yeah. have mercy, right?
Yeah. John Stamos, Greek yogurt.
He has like huge amounts of facial hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of has he has really long hair, actually, too.
Yeah, he's one of the quiz masters in Salt Lake.
Okay.
He's a roller derby announcer.
Yeah. No shit.
That's a hell of a game.
My buddy lives in Salt Lake, and he says to me, he's like, everything in Salt Lake is much more extreme.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, the religiosity. And then when people go counterculture, they go like whole hog counterculture. They like lose their fucking minds. And so they had like a mad, like Occupy Wall Street movement and like the freaks, like if you've seen SLC Punk.
Yeah.
So yeah, they just.
See, that's Jesse right there.
Oh yeah. So Jesse had you up in the... Holy crap, dude.
Yeah. He's probably lost about 100 pounds since then.
Nice.
At that point, we were just a total shit show. I mean,
Yeah, this was like the night after Geek Bowl.
We got in second place.
Yeah, we got second place, and then I think the people that won first were at that quiz, and we beat them.
That's true. They were.
There was literally no reason to not be fucked up at that point. I mean,
Was this 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't go last year. He had a wedding, and I was just tired of fucking Texas.
Yeah. Going to Texas again. Was this when you guys were called, hey, fourth place, get off the stage?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That was from the previous year where we got fourth place.
Yeah.
And they ordered us off the stage, so we figured that was a good
team. One of the stories were the podcast.
Yeah,
Is it recording or?
We've been going since before you came in, Rob.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so no, I'm going to cut a bunch of it because otherwise, you know, it's too long. Okay. But you know, it's the old radio trick. So,
you guys
will share mics and.
Yeah.
So, sitting here with the Slump Busters, please introduce yourselves, gents.
I'm Rob Knight, otherwise known as Evil Rob.
Fantastic.
I'm Russ Esposito. Just Russ. I don't have a cool nickname.
And my name's Russ. They call me Russ.
Yeah, that's right.
My name is Julio Trujillo. I don't really have a nickname, although occasionally I call myself Doctor Who.
J. Drew.
Yeah.
I'm going to move this.
You have a lot of... There's a lot of nicknames. You just don't know them yet.
Oh, yeah.
It's
all behind my back, though.
Yeah.
And try and talk as close into the mic as you guys can. So
is this too close?
Oh no, that's gorgeous. You look really good. so sitting here, this is part of Geek Bowl month, starting with a group of players, and I would say there are no more, I don't know, notorious group of guys playing Geeks Who Drink here in Denver than the Slump Busters. Would you guys agree?
That's a word for it. Notorious. We've definitely played longer than any other team. I think in all of Geeks Who Drink, we've been playing for, 9 years?
I started playing in May of 2006. You and your buddies were kind of established at that point.
Yeah.
And Julio kind of came along later that summer, so.
Yeah, I just graduated college and I wanted to start playing Geeks Who Drink and kind of got hooked up with these guys that way, so. And Geeks Who Drink as a company was only founded in like 2006 or something, right?
Yeah, they were literally one quiz in downtown Denver when we started playing. Now it's what, like 300, something like that? But
what happened was, this is back when Geeks Who Drink was in one bar on 14th and Market called Nolan's.
Okay. I've been to Nolan's. The owner slapped me in the face.
That sounds about right.
John? Yeah.
No, it was a woman.
Magda.
Yeah, that's Magda.
Yeah, she's feisty.
Yeah. and I don't remember why, but I just took it as kind of an Irish greeting.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. That or, you know, somebody puking on your shoes or pissing on you or whatever.
Right.
It's an Irish pub. But they had one bar that they did a quiz at, and this was, I'd say 2005, right around there is when they started. And my buddy Mondo and I, who goes to Geek Bowl with us, but he doesn't play quiz that much anymore.
Is his name actually Mondo?
No, his name's Armando.
Okay. You know, okay, got it.
He goes by Mondo, yeah.
All right, fair enough.
So what we would do is on Tuesday nights, we would go to the City Grill, which is on Colfax.
Yeah, with the Caesar dressing on the burger, right?
Yeah, they have that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. But they also have $3 martinis, which is
okay, shit.
The reason we would go on Tuesday nights. And we would drink these shitty $3 martinis until we were, you know, seeing double and then decide to walk somewhere. And one night we just walked down to Nolan's because we like Nolan's and went in there. And I think it was the second week Dicker was hosting a quiz. And he was sitting there with his foppish hairdo that he's got.
Was Peach there too? Or
Joel Peach was still there.
Was he looking as emaciated as ever?
Yeah. Joel Peach could use a sandwich. He always looks like he could use a sandwich, but
I don't know Joel. I don't think I've ever met Joel.
He's a co-founder.
Yeah, he was a co-founder.
Yeah, if there's ever a guy standing around Dicker that looks like he's a Holocaust survivor, that's Joel.
Yeah, he's just missing the striped pajamas, really, is all. Okay. He sold his part of the company a long time ago.
Okay. So they had one quiz going, and you guys found it?
Yeah, just wandered in there just because I happen to like Nolan's. And so we came up with the name Slump Busters and kind of ran with it from there. And we enjoyed the quiz a lot, and Dicker was cool, so we just kept going back. And then Rob was new to town, and he was talking to John, and John was like, well, I know these guys a little bit. Why don't you play with them? And so he put Rob on my team.
And this is still at Nolland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was
all within a few months of each other, really.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, this was like around, I think it was May 2006, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Julio...
I just graduated from college.
Yeah, you graduated from UT and then came back, because you're from here, you're not from Texas. But and then same thing, Dicker put him on our team. And
yeah, I don't think I was there that night. I think you guys were – I think I was de-bedbugging my apartment.
Actually, the first time we played was at the Irish Rover together.
Yeah.
Yeah, they started the second venue by then. It was Irish Rover.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Down on Broadway, right?
Well, they still do. They still do Irish Rover.
Yeah, they do. I think it's like Wednesday nights.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's one thing Dicker always laments is that he regrets ever putting us all together on one team just because, you know, Geek Bowl, we've won Geek Bowl once.
What year was that?
That was, 2010?
Yeah.
It gets worse than that because – so we had a rival team at Geek Bowl at Pub Quiz called Jesus Tequila, and it was just these guys.
Yeah.
And they were our big rivals because they were the only players that could ever really beat us, the other team that could ever beat us at the quiz.
So it was just two guys. But it's mostly just the three of you, right? Who played
against? We played the Slump Busters, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For Geek Bowl, we had played with Jesus Tequila.
Okay.
And that was also Dicker's idea. He's like, well, you guys have four, including Mondo.
Okay, right.
These guys are just two, you know, just tequila. So why don't you guys, you know, get together for Geek Bowl and, you know, play as a team together? And we're like, all right, we could do that. That year we won.
Yeah.
And then we've been playing together, you know, at Geek Bowl ever since.
What happened to Jesus and Tequila?
No, they still around, yeah. One of them, you know, had a fucking kid and one of them's like, I don't know what John's doing.
He has like a PhD, he's getting like a PhD in literature or something. Yeah.
Something that's really gonna be useful serving coffee somewhere. Awesome guys though, and we did have kind of a big rivalry with them for a couple of years.
But then, right.
Then they stopped playing like weekly, and then Dicker came up with the idea, why don't you guys team up? And we did. And so we won Geek Bowl that year. That was Geek Bowl 4.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Four. Yeah.
But we've come in second 4 times.
Okay.
Came in second the very first Geek Bowl.
We lost in overtime. That was the worst. Oh, God.
If we had jokered the correct round, we actually would have won.
Misplaced joker.
Yeah. And Geek Bowl 1 was a total shit show. I mean, it was Geek Bowl now, it's like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
You know, mostly. I mean, it'll go for a few hours and then you're done. The first Geek Bowl, there was eight hours.
Yeah, it was at least 7 hours. I mean, it didn't end until like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Why? Well, what happened?
Well, there was no organization, first of all. Yeah. Dicker had all this idea to get these acts like, entertainment, you know, because you're going to make it like a thing.
Right.
Well, so we had, what the fuck was his name? The Magic Cyclops?
Yeah, DJ Magic Cyclops.
This guy is like the worst magician you've ever seen in your life. Like, and he was up there, like, people were booing him. You just wouldn't get off the
stage. I remember everybody just kind of left and went outside for a smoke break while this was going on.
Yeah, like people who didn't smoke started smoking.
I remember hanging out with Russ and them, and this girl on one of the other teams comes straight up to me and says, "Can you do something about this?" And she had this look on her face like, if I were to go up and forcibly remove Magic Cyclops from the stage, she would sire children with me.
Well, you're a big dude. You have evil in your title. I mean, you know.
He could have done it. Cyclops was, somebody needed to take that dude out.
Oh, and also, Adam Caton Holland had a stand-up routine kind of at halftime. This was not part of the problem. He was only on for 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, he did later geek pools too. He was
he kind of pointed to us in the crowd and referred to us as meatheads who date rape.
That's
flattering.
Yeah. And he played wearing Molly's jersey.
We've had several members like as a joke, we thought it would be a good idea to make jerseys.
Okay.
I went to Sportline over in Arvada and designed it and said, "Okay, here, I need these jerseys," and they all say "Slump Busters" across them.
Yeah.
They're like softball jerseys with the.
Oh, they're like baseball tees.
Yeah.
Like Sarah Silverman wears.
Yeah. And so you could have a nickname or your name back, whatever. And Molly, this girl Molly Condon, who used to play with us, she's from Chicago, and her nickname on the back was Sugar Pants.
Nice.
And so when Adam Caton Holland was working at the Westward. The time, and he was going to do a show.
He had the What's So Funny column, right?
And he wrote like articles for them too.
Yeah,
and he was going to do an article on Denver Pub Quiz and Geeks Who Drink.
Right.
And so he got with Dicker about that, and then Dicker said, "Well, why don't you play with the Slump Busters, you know?" And so he played with us, and we let him wear Sugar Pants' jersey. And to this day, I still call him Sugar Pants when I see him.
To this day, there were a few of his friends that were at the quiz. They still call him Sugar Pants too.
Yes. Well, he does have a sweet beard, and he's kind of hot. So, I mean.
Yeah.
So you guys have these members, emeritus members and current members, and you rotate people through. You guys are like Menudo.
Yeah, right? Kind of.
Yeah,
kind of.
We've had a pretty stable lineup recently, though. I mean, it's just really been the three of us for the most part.
It's more like Motorhead, I think.
Nice.
Motorhead was changing guitar players every week for about a decade, and now they've had the exact same lineup for 20 years.
Yeah.
So you're Lemmy?
Yes, I am.
You're Lemmy? Without the shit on your face, like without the weird thing on his face.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
What is that thing? That thing's fucking terrifying.
It's a mole. It's just a mole.
It's really gross.
Yeah, it's a
mole.
Yeah, it's, what do they call it? On Madonna, a beauty mark?
I got to Google Lemmy so I can see.
Yeah, it's a beauty mark.
Dude, get ready. It's like the first time someone tells you to go look at Goatsy.
We've been responsible for our scorekeeper doing, by the way.
Nice.
That's we've been playing under different team names and that sort of thing lately, and we have.
Why, just for fun or what?
Yeah, we just kind of got tired of Slump Busters for a while. We'll eventually go back to it, but we try to make it topical lately.
Okay.
And so all the stuff that Kate's looked up out of sheer curiosity because of our team name.
Yeah, Kate. Kate's a scorekeeper at the Irish Snuggler.
Oh,
play.
No.
I think
she's sort of fake innocent, kind of.
She's had a pretty either. She's a very
poor,
sheltered
sweet
woman,
Kate.
or something. Like, she didn't know what furries were, so she had to look that up and. Didn't she look up that picture of the guy with the boner on the yacht?
That's Goatsy, yeah.
Yeah,
and
Goatsy.
And also,
Goatsy's the guy opening his own ass.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the week that we played as Jameis Winston's Aristocrats.
Yes.
Yeah. There were a lot of, The name Slump Busters was a funny and original name, and we
tell them the story of how that came, Russ.
Yes, tell them.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask: is the Mark Grace reference intentional?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
perfect. Absolutely.
Good. Well, Mondo and I were our big sports fans.
Yeah.
And we listened to Jim Rome a lot, and there was that interview with Mark Grace where he talked about what a slump buster was, and so
for those who don't know,
a slump buster is when you're having a slump at the plate and you're not hitting well. Basically, what you're supposed to do is, you know, you just find the biggest, fattest, nastiest broad you can and bang her out. And
right.
Then, you know, you're
yeah.
So it's a slump buster.
It's basically when you're in a dry spell.
Yeah.
The slump buster is
you just bang out a nasty broad.
You get something on the board.
Yeah. You just put something up there and everything else will improve.
And in baseball terms, it's like a seeing eye single or, you know, a bloop fucking whatever.
Ground ball with eyes, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's
right.
A dying quail, Texas.
Yeah, a can of corn.
Yeah, it's good.
Duck snort.
Yeah, but slump buster just looks prettier on a shirt.
Oh, totally.
Than, you know, ground ball with eyes. That's a big, you know, you don't want to put that.
No, but, it's a little cartoony.
Yeah, right, yeah. So we do try to stay topical with the names nowadays. I think, well, I mean, fuck you. We've been doing this for like almost a decade. So, I mean, it's,
right.
You know, we could stay as slump buster. Actually, they used to put bounties on us because we would win so much.
Yeah, I remember. And we tried to win those bounties. As
yeah, like win the quiz, fine, but beat the slump busters and we'll give you an extra like $50 or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I took that as kind of a point of pride, you know, like.
I think you should.
That they would think to do that. But at the same time, I think we also drove some of the business out of certain bars when we would play.
Yeah.
And so by changing the name up, I think people. Like, people who know us will know us.
Right. And they'll see you guys in there and be like, fuck.
But if they're
and I used to get there before everybody, and I would take kind of that circular booth right down at the foot of the stairs.
Yeah.
And you could see the look on people's faces as they came down the stairs. It's like, oh, shit.
Well, I mean,
not today.
Like, pop quiz is the way I look at it is it's supposed to be something fun where you can hang out with your friends and you can. You know, shoot the shit and goof around for a few hours on a Tuesday night, whatever.
Yeah, and you stretch your brain a little bit.
But at the same time, it does get to be kind of it sucks when you know you're not going to win.
Yeah.
You know, if you're there and you don't care if you win, that's fine. But, I mean, there are, you know, people who are naturally competitive and they want to win and, you know, they get pissed.
I think that's why they kind of instituted the prize for just not last.
Yeah, yeah, they do a lot of different things now, especially at the Snug where it's a big quiz. There's like 20, 30 teams every
year. Yeah, I would say toughest quiz in the city.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
At least toughest competition.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely get like the more teams, the more competition. But I mean, by changing the name, we kind of keep people in the dark as to whether or not we're there. Like, I remember when we played this Slump Busters and Slump Busters and Slump Busters, like every week.
Right.
People would start booing us when they would announce that we were in first place. And I thought it was hilarious.
Right.
But at the same time, I could see how some people would be like going to other bars and you would see the team, like the number of teams like dwindle from like 30 to like 12.
Well, it's got to start to wear on you guys a little bit, right?
Well, that's what happened with the Piccadilly Twits. They were another team of rivals, kind of hipster kids and, they had a whole like social media presence where they had like a Facebook page and a Twitter handle and
yeah, fuck those guys.
Yeah, they called themselves America's favorite pub quiz team.
Yeah, I can tell you objectively that's not true.
Of course, yeah. But then they I mean after they played us a couple years and you know really had a like, strong rivalry and they won a couple times. And,
yeah.
But then like after a while they just were like, fuck it, we're gonna go somewhere else, and they just completely left and went to another bar.
You can't really have a rivalry when only one team is good.
Well, you know what's funny? Well, yeah, it's like CU versus Nebraska for all those years, right?
Yeah, just gets smoked every year, like 20 points.
Right. So it's funny in the run up to Geek Bowl. I want to say it was 2010. The first one where Johnny Goodtimes was really like
the one at the Gothic
at the Fillmore. The one at the Fillmore.
Yeah. Because that was the year after the Geek Bowl 5,
So our team was really gearing up for it. We had a pretty good team. And so we were playing quizzes all over the city, getting used to different quiz masters and stuff. And we came into the Snug once, and we actually won. And so we go, oh, fuck, okay, we got a shot. Like, we actually got a shot, because we won at the Snug. Here's the rub, though. You guys were there, but you weren't there.
Oh.
So Russ and Julio were there, but Rob wasn't there. And so then, you know, there was a different bar. I saw you there. We beat you and your wife.
Yeah.
But, you know, Russ and Julio weren't there. So we've beaten the Slump Busters separately, but never together.
Yeah, right. We have off nights.
Well, I'm sure it happens.
And every year right before Geek Bowl, we just go into a cold streak to end all cold streaks.
Oh, that feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's and then, I mean, we shake it off by the time that we actually get to Geek Bowl and we do pretty well.
Right.
But if you're playing us like in the month leading up to Geek Bowl, we're usually just like all kinds of just tight and kind of...
You're just slogging through it, right?
Yeah.
Well, the three of us, you know, like we do really need to be a team a lot of times because the three of us together are really strong. I mean, a couple times, like, I know, like we've played individually or with each other, just the two of us. Just the two of us, and we've done well, but you know, when the three of us are together, we're pretty ensemble because we have a really good and different base of knowledge, each of us.
Oh, that's really a strong team. That's so important. In a team. So, okay, take me through your guys' sort of strengths. Where do you guys see each of your individual strengths? Rob, why don't you go first?
I tend to get really heavily specialized. I mean, I'm not a real big sports nerd, but ask me anything about football and most stuff about baseball, I can usually do it. Any other sport, I'm worthless. They usually just hand the music round right over to me.
And, they just slide it over.
Seriously, like, we'll give him the round and then Julio and I'll just like shoot the shit. Or, like,
why is that?
I spent most of my elementary school years and most of my middle school years listening to Top 40 radio.
Oh, okay. Well, then
and
fuck.
And MTV.
That's perfect then.
And it comes up so often in quiz. Like, songs,
but no, I mean, it's almost like savant-like. I'm not joking. And I mean this as a compliment because I wish I could do music like he does. Like, I'll think of the song and he's already written it like 10 minutes ago.
Right?
You know? And it's like, it's really impressive to watch.
Yeah,
and also government and geography, although Julio and I tend to kind of overlap on the government and the geography.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, nice. Russ, what about you?
You forgot to say anything about Florida.
Yeah, anything about Florida. That's where I grew up.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Does that come up frequently?
Actually, yeah, it does.
Seriously?
I mean, really, you've read the News of the Weird, haven't you?
I follow. Happens in the world, happens in Florida.
And I can vouch, Florida literally is that weird.
Do you guys follow Florida Man on Twitter?
I do.
I do. Yeah,
I love
yeah.
Florida Man. Yeah. That's one of my favorite Twitter accounts.
I also listen to Scarborough.
Yeah,
country.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, I love that podcast.
Like, when they do the county ones, where they do the three stories, it's like two out of the three stories are always from Florida.
Right. So of course.
Also, I can tell you, the further south in Florida, the more likely it is to have one of those weird stories coming out.
Seriously? What about up in the panhandle in like Jacksonville? And
isn't
that weird country?
Well, there's a saying in Florida, the further north you go, the farther south you get.
Okay.
And once you get up past Orlando and Daytona, there's not a whole lot of, I grew up in Tallahassee, so I know this.
Okay.
Tallahassee is culturally part of Georgia.
Okay.
And most of the western part of the panhandle, you might as well be in Alabama.
Okay.
I mean, southern culture has its own kind of weird, but Florida is just completely different and mutated.
Well, you know what's funny is when you get outside the city, just how rural everything looks the same.
Yeah.
Do you remember what James Carville said about Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Yeah, it was Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Alabama in between.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, yeah, you got Philadelphia and you got Pittsburgh, and in between, Alabama. So, yeah. Anyway.
Well, on the Florida-Alabama border, there's a good bar called the Florabama.
Yeah.
That's a good bar. Yeah, you know, just.
Well, and world's largest outdoor cocktail party is.
Is the Florida-Georgia game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really talk about the Gators very much. I'm a Florida State
fan. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. It's
all right. Well, then fuck. You know what? Fucking the Gators stole my football coach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And CSU's my second favorite team.
Yeah. So fuck them in half.
CSU alum. Yeah.
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 Also Tebow.
Yeah. Tebow. Right. Tebow.
That was probably my favorite moment watching a football game ever was,
Alabama
SEC championship game where the Gators are losing to Alabama and he was just crying like a little bitch on the sideline.
Well, you know what? You can thank McElwain for that because he was Alabama offensive coordinator at that point.
Yeah.
So badass.
To be fair though, that he threw one good pass in his entire life and it was to Demaryius Thomas to win the playoff game against the Steelers.
That was sick.
Which is still in my top three Bronco games of all time just because that whole year was so fucking weird.
Agreed.
Yeah, there's no way we should have been in the playoffs.
Okay, I don't want to get off on Tebow, but one thing I loved about watching Tebow was you guys have probably watched enough football in your life to where you have like a stopwatch in your head for you know how long a quarterback can hold a ball without getting killed. Tebow would exceed that by several seconds on every single down.
He would hold it for minutes.
And you'd go, what are you doing? And I never knew if he was going to break it off for 40 yards running or if he was going to throw it 5 yards in front of a receiver that was 7 yards away.
Yeah, or throw it to the third row.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He screwed up my, like, the way I consume football, and I actually really appreciated that.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson is kind of like that, except he
a little bit, yeah.
But he can throw a ball, you know.
Right.
I mean, you can Tebow could chuck it 90 yards, but
right. Couldn't read a defense to save his life either.
No, I mean, we were down 15 points to Miami. With like a minute and a half left, and we won that game by a field goal.
Oh yeah, that game was
nuts. A tractor beam pulls Chicago Bear out of bounds when there's nobody in front of him for 30 yards.
I don't think Marion Barber even carried the ball in his NFL career after that.
No, because he ruined it. Tebow ruined careers.
Yeah,
he ruined careers. I was at the Thursday night game. I don't want to get off on Tebow either, but this is the Thursday night game against the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
And where we came back and Tebow led that last second drive and then ran it in for a touch. And, I mean, I've been to several Bronco games in my life.
Sure.
Die-hard Bronco fan my entire life. And I've never seen people chant somebody's name in the stands. Okay? it was eerie and creepy and not in a good way. Not like Rudy, you know, where you're kind of like it's a little dusty and you get a little tear in your eye like, oh, the little fucker got a chance to play. No, this was like – they're like worshiping him like a demigod at some point, and you're just like, he's not good. Like, why? I had arguments with people. Like, you know, I love the Broncos because Tebow's on there, and I love Jesus. I'm like, that's not. I don't want you on my bandwagon. Then get the fuck
out.
Go root for the Chiefs.
And as a Florida State fan, I was going completely batshit that entire time.
I'll bet.
I mean, it's like. If Tebow had stayed on this team another year, they would have literally had to move the franchise to Colorado Springs.
Yeah,
that'd be a good fit.
So
Russ, let's get back to your specialty.
Fuck Tebow. My specialty, other than fucking hating on Tim Tebow, is
everything and Julio were too busy memorizing almanacs and road atlases to notice.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, like I movies. I'm really strong on movies, pop culture kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay,
I do pop culture. Also, anything that happened like pre-Korean War, I'm pretty good on, like music wise. Like if they you know they do like a
pre-Korean War
Sinatra round, or swing music or jazz or something like that, old timey, like, you know. Like, if there was a baseball question from the 40s, I would probably know that. I kind of stopped paying attention to anything after, like, 1957, I'm pretty sure. And then I picked it up again.
Are you a vampire?
Kind of.
He imagines himself as, like, he'll, like, dress up in, like, suits and, like, imagine himself as,
I was born
there's
in the wrong decade.
There's
for
the
sure.
The Russ Esposito outfit is an unlockable outfit in L.A. Noir.
Yeah, nice. Kind of like I've tried to quit smoking like, you know, 45 times at this point, but you know, it just goes so well with the image I have of myself in my head, which is like a, you know, like a Sam Spade character, you know,
it's like in the Matrix when it's like, this is the mental projection of your digital self.
Right.
Right. If you were to end up on that fucking bleak ass ship eating the snot and the gruel. But when you get plugged back into the Matrix, you look like someone from like L.A. Confidential.
Yeah, I'm like Bogart,
right?
Casablanca, like,
gotcha.
No reason, like I'm in the 15th Street Tavern with like a suit on, like there's no
nice.
You know, there's a guy next to me like puking on his own shoes, and then I'm sitting there with like cufflinks on, you know. But
And you watch like all those old movies.
Too. I do. I like, you know, Turner Classic Movies is kind of my homepage.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you guys met my daughter who's 7 weeks old. Her name's Grace. One of the reasons she's named Grace is because of Gracie Allen.
Oh, there you go.
I grew up watching all that old shit too. Yeah. Like my dad introduced me to W.C. Fields and, Marx Brothers, George Burns, Gracie Allen. We listened to the Bickersons on the radio, that kind of thing.
Bickersons, that's a classic one.
So.
You may be the first person that's my age that's ever brought up the Bickersons.
I'll bet.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
Well, it was Don Ameche and, I can't remember the woman. But they were this married couple who hated each other, and they had a comedy radio show.
Yeah.
She was always, like, putting garbage in his lunch and stuff. It was weird.
Yeah. And then you got,
it was really funny, though.
Yeah, you got Fibber McGee and Molly, and then you got...
Right. Bob and Ray.
The Ritz Brothers, Abbott and Costello.
Right, all that old shit.
Yeah. That's where I'm at. That's kind of my milieu.
Gotcha.
I guess is what you would call it.
Good use of the word milieu.
Dicker always says you need to have a septuagenarian on your team, and we right. happen to have one as Russ. Not technically that old, but.
No, yeah. I mean, I.
Spiritually, sure.
Yeah, no, I'm the oldest 34-year-old I've ever met.
Yeah, I kind of do the same thing. I mean, I'm quoting things from before I was born, and people go, what is that a reference to?
Right.
And I'll go, oh, it's a W.C. Fields movie, so never mind. But, okay, so Julio, what is your specialty?
Well, I worked at a bookstore for like 6 years,
nice.
Capitol Hill Books down on Colfax, as we like to say. So I have a pretty good literature knowledge, and I mean, my job is literally entering books into a database, and so if there's anything that's like, who wrote this or,
Jesus.
So exactly.
Entering books into a so you've come across quite a few.
And I read a lot of them too, so.
Yeah. I mean, nice. He was pretty much the entire margin in the first Rumble. You remember there was that one round three where it was entirely had to name the author of
A whole author literature based question, yeah.
Yeah, and we wound up basically everybody else bombed that round and we aced it, I think, or we got 7 and we won by 7.
Was that first Rumble in the Pub?
Yeah.
Was that at the Snug?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, the first one was at the, that one bar over by.
No, that was the second one.
That was the second one.
Yeah.
Down in like Platt Park.
Yeah.
That was the second one.
We also won that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The third one. Oh yeah.
We've won all of those.
Yeah. Well, fuck you guys. That's great.
Yeah. All the trophies from those are sitting in my man cave in the basement.
Well, it's funny. You guys brought up the sort of chilling effect that being like a good team can have and people recognize you. When, you know, for the Rumble in the Pub, you had to accumulate points and you had to go to different bars and you had to like place there and you got 3 points for first, like 2 points for whatever, right? Well, we showed up because Johnny was quizzing at, what the hell was that place called on Leedsdale? Prickly Pete's?
Yeah.
So we rolled up because, like, you know, we wanted to quiz with Johnny because Johnny's the best quiz master, in my opinion. Or Cousin Chet, I guess he goes by now.
Yeah. Now he goes by Bob Dylan wrote propaganda songs, I think.
Well, that's his Facebook page.
Yeah.
Does he go by that? Like,
is he not hosting at the Wrangler anymore?
I think he is.
I don't know. Oh, well, the week after this airs is going to be the episode with him. So he's the quizmaster I'm talking about.
At Wrangler, they just call him Pretty Boy, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole sexual harassment thing was,
Don't make it weird. He's the smallest bear in that whole bar.
Yeah, God, no kidding.
He's basically a twink. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a twink at the
Wrangler. And there will be a photo of him and I on the blog. He's not a small dude.
No, he's not.
So. But our team showed up to get points for the Rumble at Prickly Pete's, and we saw you guys there, and we go, well, God damn it, like, fuck. And so we knew we needed to get points, so we stopped going to Prickly Pete's. I mean, that's the way it goes, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think we came in fourth at that Rumble. Here's the bitch about our team, and here's what I'm going to ask you. This is going to lead into a question. But we have a good team. Right?
Yeah.
We're all good. Like, me.
What's the name of your team?
We don't play under any regular name, but okay. At Geek Bowl, we were, I told Rob this.
Yeah.
1 year we were Jay Thurston, Rockefeller, Meowington IV.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. After Jax.
Yeah.
And then,
$25 name right there.
The next year we were Finnegan Raymond, Carnegie McWhiskerton Esquire. So he's the one laying right over there.
Oh.
We're good, right? Yeah. But we would need to trade for like a LeBron. to kick us over the top. Like, we're all role players, right? We all, like, we all fit in nicely. Cause
full of Kyrie Irvings.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. Actually, you know what? We're like the fucking Nuggets. Remember that year, like, they were really good? It was like Fareed and Iguodala and, Ty Lawson and.
Yeah, and everybody was so hopeful about that because it was not just the team, it was just the whole concept that
you could win without a superstar.
For an NBA Finals without a major superstar.
We also had George Karl, who's kind of a major superstar of a coach.
Right.
Well, yeah.
But so
they got rid of him that year.
That's our team.
Yeah.
We're like, we would be like a 5 or a 6 seed every year in the NBA playoffs. And we'd show up and, you know, we'll be scrappy and we'll give you a fight, but we have to fucking Slumdog Millionaire the quiz to like, to have a shot at winning the shit. So I'm curious is, what do you think of, like, if you guys can name it, what do you think makes you guys so successful as a team that causes you to win all 3 Rumbles? Come in second at how many Geek Bowls?
Four
of them.
I think, yeah.
First
winning one. And then, you know, finishing no worse than what, 4th? And
the 1 year I actually got 11th, which was
well,
sad.
That was a, that was the second Geek Bowl or the third Geek Bowl. It was Geek Bowl 3 because we didn't go to 2.
Yeah, it was the third one. It was.
That was the one your wife came to, Rob.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, your head wasn't in the game. I was hammered before round one even started, so
quality work?
Basically fucking worthless.
Yeah, there's a classic picture of Russ from that Geek Bowl basically doing the Buffalo Bill dance from Silence of the Lambs.
Well, they were playing that song, you know, so, you know,
goodbye horses.
Yeah, so you just tuck it back and do your little dance.
Would you fuck me?
I would fuck me.
I'd fuck me.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. That's literally all I was good for at that quiz. And I think we tied for 11th with like 7 other teams. So we weren't even truly 11th on our
right.
own. We were probably more like 18th at that point.
Right. Well, that was kind of us at Geek Bowl 5. I mean, we finished like
10th
or so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the best we did.
Yeah. From my perspective, I think, you know, you can have guys on your team that know a bunch of shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are smart as hell. I mean, these guys are way smarter than I am. I just retain randomly weird things. So I'm lucky that way. But I think more than anything, what you need is chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be able to have a shorthand with each other. You know, like I'll start to say something and Julio will be like, I got it. Or Rob will be like, I got it. So that, and we're really good at stepping on each other's toes without hurting each other's feelings. You know what I mean? Like, we will disagree about certain things.
Yeah.
Like, if I put something down and I'm not sure of it, and Rob or Julio looks like they're way certain about something, I'll change it. Like, it's not, you can't have too big of an ego.
Yeah.
To do this, because, I mean, if you put something down and you're like, no, it's the fucking Grinch, and then somebody's like, no, it's not.
No, it's the Lorax.
It's the Lorax, you stupid fuck. Like, you know, and then, like, if you end up, like, holding on to a grudge or something because.
Or if you're too precious about an answer, right?
Yeah, like, if you insist on putting down the fucking Grinch, and then it's the Lorax, and then your teammates are like, told you it was fucking Lorax, dipshit, you know. And but you can't do that. So you have to be willing to compromise. And I think we've known each other long enough that, like, we can trust each other on something. Like, I wrote down Rod Stewart last week.
I fucked that up.
But Rob seemed so certain.
Yeah.
And I really was just kind of guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we changed it. And it was wrong, but, like, whatever. Like, we still won quiz, so it doesn't matter.
That's the bitch of quiz, though, isn't it? Like, you'll have a disagreement. I hate it when you have a face-off. And, you know, it ends up being wrong. You just feel like such a horse's ass.
Well, what we do, I think, more than anything, is we talk ourselves out of answers.
Okay.
Yeah, we've done that many times.
Like, we'll get too smart.
Do you guys overthink it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We've done that before.
All the time. Like, we'll have, I would say probably 50% of the questions we get wrong are questions we've thought ourselves out of.
Okay.
Like, who does the voiceover for Coors Original? And it's like Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
But then, you know, because you're just certain it's Sam Elliott. Right. It's like a given. But then we'll start thinking, like, well, no, didn't they change it? Maybe they changed it.
Well, for me, it's Sacagawea is the biggest one, the Geek Bowl Sacagawea question.
Sacagawea.
Yeah, that
Talk me through that, Julio. What was that one?
Yeah, so it was, I forget which Geek Bowl it was, one of the ones in Austin, but there was a question is what tribe did Sacagawea come from?
Okay.
Oh, and, yeah, I think that was the one where we were fourth.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That was the Manischewitz wine game.
And I was, what? I knew it was, she was Shoshone, but then I had this like whole kind of conversation with myself, like, well, she was actually Sioux, and yeah. I can't remember which one, but the whole story about Sacagawea is she was actually kidnapped by the Sioux. From the Shoshone, so she lived with the Sioux, and so she knew both languages, the Sioux and Shoshone. That's why she was so useful.
Yeah, and the Shoshone are an Idaho tribe, and they like encountered her way far east of there, so we were like...
You see what's going on right now?
Yeah, yeah.
You're getting a lesson right
now.
So we kind of thought like, well, she couldn't be Shoshone because they would be... How would they find there early on in the, you know, in the trip?
And well, what's amazing to me, and I wrote a blog about one of the Geek Bowls. I think it was the second one in Austin. The question was something like the Ultimate Fighter appears, UFC appears on this channel for guys or whatever, right? So it was like Spike TV, right?
Yeah.
I think why some people, you'll hear people say, I'm not good at trivia, like I'm not good at quiz. And then you'll get them to play and they'll be fine, right?
Yeah.
I think most people are not good at unpacking what's at the heart of a question.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's like, you know what? I don't know anything about UFC, so they shut down. It's like, no, listen for the fucking heart of the question. Yeah. It's about a TV network. There are only so many, like, cable networks.
Yeah, and
we're good at that. We're good at that.
Yeah, plus that's kind of the classic thing that Geeks Who Drink does. The entire theme of the round will sound like something just horribly specialized, but it'll, if you actually listen to the question, they're not really asking for anything that's that out of this world.
You know? No.
And the main writer and editor is a like 6-time Jeopardy champion.
Yeah.
And he writes in the vein of like Jeopardy questions.
Right. Oh, and lots of clues. He's 2 weeks from this episode.
We do worse on rounds where our options are limited. Like where we could free flow kind of think and just kind of throw shit against the wall and see what sticks, we're fine. But it's like a 50-50 round.
Oh, yeah. We eat shit on those.
No, yeah. We'll miss half those questions because we're like, well, I don't know. Do you guys... If we can't discuss it, we can't figure it out, I think. But like a lot of times if they're like, okay, is it blue or green? And you're like, I thought it was orange, but let's go with green.
I thought it was a suspension bridge. How the fuck are these the two options?
How many, is that a thing? So we just pick one, you know?
And yeah.
When we get limited that way, we do worse.
So it's funny. I had a buddy play Geeks Who Drink for the first time. I love the way they structure their quizzes. I love when there's lots of questions. Like, I mean, that's...
Have you played TFO at all?
No.
Okay.
What is TFO?
That was what I started out. That's like National Trivia Night. That's where they hand you the machines or whatnot.
Oh yeah. The countdown and, Yeah, I've played that.
TFO is, where it was kind of like, that was the prevalent format for quote unquote pub quiz here in Denver before Geeks Who Drink started. Basically, they'd have a question up on a screen.
Right.
And you'd have basically a DJ asking a trivia question.
Yeah, like a whole fucking song. Too,
yeah, right? You have a song to run your answer up, and they're worth various points. And I mean, it was... Yeah. And that was kind of how I started out, because I moved here like 10 years ago.
Where'd you come from, Rob?
Tallahassee.
Oh, Florida. Right. Yeah, you said that. I'm sorry.
I lived in Seattle for a couple of years. Then I was back in Tallahassee for a couple of years, and I moved out here. But I grew up in Tallahassee. While I was out in Seattle, that was the first time I played pub quiz.
Yeah.
And it was when I came to that quiz at Nolan's that I finally encountered a quiz that was like the stuff I was playing in Seattle.
Okay.
Where, you know, you had a significant amount of questions, and it really actually seemed like the main reason everybody was at the bar that night was to actually play the quiz.
Totally.
And I mean, we've been playing for almost a decade, and I can't remember them repeating things. I mean, this is good. I mean, you know, you play that, like, I never played that, was it TFO?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never played that.
Oh, but
I did
Itty Tog.
I did the keyboard ones that they had, like, old Chicago and
stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
I've done
that
too.
And you'd see the same questions after a while.
Right.
Like
playing Trivial Pursuit out of the same box for, like, 15 years.
Right, shuffle the goddamn cards.
Eventually you fucking know, you know,
when
Walt Disney died. Like, you don't care.
Right.
But Geeks Who Drink, I think, was a really kind of refreshing format. Like, because I'd never even seen that.
And it's weird too, because it recuts. Like, it could be like, name these eight fucking songs, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, no, here's like jazz covers of these songs. Yeah. Or, you know, here's
or
like
Speak and Spell.
Yeah, here's like the Japanese, like a Japanese
person. Or here's a bunch of songs with Yoko Ono spliced into them.
That one was hilarious. Gross. That was Tuesday's quizzes. They had Yoko Ono screaming over the chorus of the songs.
But they make it fun too, because then you can like, because they allow you to talk to your teammates.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not a thing.
It's a social thing.
It's not like taking a test.
Right.
It's just getting drunk with your friends and seeing who knows, like, what movie Julie Andrews was in 1965 or something.
Right.
You know, like,
that sounds like Sound of Music to me. But.
And that's part of our success too, I think, is that we're really good friends. Like, we, even though we didn't know each other before going to the quiz, we became really, really close friends. And, I mean, we were and Rob's wedding, and we're, you know, we celebrate each other's milestones. And
yeah, we were there.
That's
we were
cool.
The night Rob proposed to his wife, which he did through a quiz.
No shit, really?
Yeah, it was at the Illegal Pete's in the tech center, actually.
Okay.
Fucking romantic, man. I mean, it was.
I did a music round where it was supposed to be songs that had evil in the title.
Well, Rob used to actually host briefly, too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I sucked at it. Okay. Royally.
and by the way, one thing we have to give a shout out to is the importance of a good host.
Yeah.
Someone who who can pronounce shit.
Yeah.
Well, and read the questions
and
clearly.
And timing and
has flair. And,
oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. I was very good at the pronunciation.
Sure.
Everything else as far as like timing and rapport with the audience, that was pretty sadly lacking. Most of the time the audience itself was lacking because I was quiz mastering at a redneck bar in South Lakewood.
Nice. there was this old commercial, this old Beck's commercial. With, it's like, Germans don't know comedy, and this German gets up in front of the mic and he goes, I just flew in from Berlin, and boy are my arms tied. Thank you, I'll be here all the week. Yeah. Is it a little like that?
Yeah, totally.
Quality. So you proposed to your wife through quiz.
Yeah.
Did I hear that you had quiz at your wedding reception too?
Yes, I did.
Nice. What was that like?
It was,
yeah, we did.
I would fucking hope so. Give me a break.
Well, it was a dream team made up of them, one of my best friends from high school, and one of my best friends from college who got married to each other.
Okay.
And met at my first wedding.
And your wife, right? Was she on your team?
Well, we didn't play. We were, we were like randomly handing out. We wrote all the questions.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And we were like randomly handing out hints.
Okay. Nice.
And that sort of thing. But, we didn't actually play.
Okay. I gotcha.
And,
it was a good time though.
But yeah, it was.
Sounds awesome. And, it sounds better than your standard wedding. Like,
yeah.
I mean, well, fucking
you know,
A.
Weddings can be dull. It's the average, you know, open bar, cash bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just waiting for some
prime rib, whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this was good. It was a way to get people interacting together.
Totally.
It was fun.
Sounds awesome.
The proposal thing was kind of cheesy, like from my point of view, because like I was sitting there like covering my face with like a newspaper,
right?
You know, trying to make it.
You're conspicuously inconspicuous.
Yeah. But it was really fucking sweet the way the guy did it. I mean, all these songs, and then at the end.
Oh, well, explain.
Yeah.
It's the only bonus question on a music round in Geeks Who Drink history.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And the question was, "Will you marry me?"
Yeah.
Nice.
For some reason, the bar was like already packed on, it was like already kind of a more crowded than normal type night. And then like all of the people who were kind of incognito for the proposal kind of sauntered in there. And, Shannon was like, she was almost completely tipped off when my now brother-in-law walked in with,
what are you doing here?
With my now niece. Basically in her carrier.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But I mean,
she was like 4 months old at the time.
I mean, when I think about it, I mean, the nerve it takes to do that. Like, first of all, like to ask somebody to marry you and then to do it in a bar full of strangers.
Yeah.
Like there's one of two ways it can go.
Yeah. That's no joke.
Yeah. I'm like
nerve wracking. I was nervous.
Yeah. And Shannon has like told me that if I was one of these guys that like put up a cheesy, you know, marriage proposal up on the Jumbotron in the football stadium or something, she probably would have told me no.
Yeah.
God damn. You know, what you were talking about is the importance of a good quiz master, though.
Yeah.
It just made me think of when, because we used to follow Dicker around, because I think he's the best quiz master, to be quite honest.
Well, it's his fucking company.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, we just kind of got so used to him reading the questions. I think when he left initially and some guy took over, Will or somebody.
Okay.
I don't know. But like, we didn't like his style because it wasn't, it wasn't Dicker.
Right.
So we were just kind of like, oh, what's, this guy sucks, you know? Right. Like, if you don't like your quiz master, it can ruin the quiz because you're just like banging on the guy the whole time. Or if he takes like a 2 minute break between each question.
Yeah. Or if it takes him forever to score the fucking round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or,
I mean, I don't mind going out for a smoke, but how many smokes do I got to have before you're done with scoring
that round? That was one thing that I would get hung up on when I was quiz master was, if there was like one particular question in a round where it was a judgment call and there was like a little bit of wiggle room as to whether they had the right answer or not, I would get stuck on those.
I think they had us host as a team one time.
Okay. Oh my God. That almost started a riot.
Yeah, that was
because I wrote most of the questions and they were super hard.
Yeah, and as a quiz master, you have to kind of have some leniency with certain things or whatever. And like, we all have our strengths, you know, we're all good with people, you know, to a certain extent. But there was no leniency there, and I completely checked out, you know. I was just hanging out and
reading
questions, and then I was just screwing around, you know. It's not a strength of ours to host. I mean,
yeah. Well, no, it's one of those things. It's funny. I like to write. My wife and I met in grad school, so it was a writing and reading heavy intensive program, right?
Yeah. The CSU?
Yeah. I like to read. I read a lot. I don't read nearly as much as my wife, though. But I like to write. See, I like to, you know, I like to produce the shit.
Sure.
In terms of beer making, I'm just a fan. I just like drinking beer. But she wants to make it. See? Yeah. So in terms of Geeks Who Drink, you know, I've thought, I'm like, it might be fun to like host, you know, and like do quiz. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to see that side of it just because I like the other side so much.
Yeah.
I'm happy to just be a consumer.
Yeah.
So, question for you guys. You guys have been playing for, you said, almost a decade now, right?
Yeah, like 9 years.
Is there something that the company does or doesn't do that you would like to see changed as players?
I kind of think that they're getting the bottom of the barrel on some of the rounds sometimes recently. It's like there was one that was like, all the answers will contain the letters G and Z for some reason.
Okay.
It's like, that's a little bit of a like kind of stretch to a theme.
Little reach? Do you think they might be overextending? Because I mean, doing six nights a week, 64 questions a night.
That's hard to keep it fresh, I think.
Well, but what do? You're going to scale it back to what?
Yeah,
you
know, really.
Yeah.
No, of course not.
4 nights a week?
Yeah.
I think there's enough information out there that they can have. I just think they have to, they could keep doing quiz 6 nights a week.
Right.
I think they need to maybe go a little bit more in depth or, like, cause like these words contain G and Z. Like, we were like, what the fuck is that? Like,
right. Was one of them, Gazeter?
No.
That would be a good one, though.
I was waiting for Jizza. I was like,
Oh, nice, yeah.
I was like, literally had Jizza written for the bonus.
This founding member of the Wu-Tang.
I've also, granted, this is not a problem for us because we always do pretty well on the music round, but it kind of is a little overemphasized in terms of the point weights.
Really?
I mean, I would like to, they've been doing more 16-point rounds outside of the music round and the random knowledge round.
Right. Yeah.
I'd like to see them continue to do that. And I think maybe the random knowledge round might benefit from it being worth, say, 20 points or something like that rather than 16. Give you an incentive to wait and joker on that even if you did really well on the music round.
Let's talk about that a little bit because I had a friend who was playing for the first time and he's texting me. He's really excited because I'd been pumping it up to him. I go, yeah. Dude, you're going to fucking love this. Like, I know your disposition. This is going to be your thing. And he goes, yeah, we nailed round one, jokered it. And I go, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I go, fucking amateur move, dude. Don't joker round one. He goes, no, dude, we got
The first time I played, the first time I played on Russ's team when the very first night.
Yeah.
We did really well on round one. It was like, should we joker this? And he's like, no, don't do that.
yeah, you only joker rounds two or eight.
Yeah. Or there's a random number. But see, that makes it too damn predictable.
Right.
I like when they throw it in like round threes with 16 possible points. And you're like,
or the visual rounds worth 16. Or
No, I dig that too. Yeah. Because, I mean, for the music round, my wife is our music person. And then our buddy Brad, who's on our team, a girl he was dating was our other music person.
Yeah.
Then they fucking broke up and ruined our team.
Yeah.
Which, you know, sucks. But
yeah, because, I mean, see what happened? We go to quiz. We do well on round two. We joker it.
Yeah.
We're ahead of the pack.
Everyone's playing catch up.
You can't beat us at that point.
Well, because random knowledge is such a crapshoot, too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, now there have been nights where we have been, after jokering round two,
right,
we've not been in first. And we're like, what the fuck?
Right.
What does that mean? But we've had to come back and win come from behind and win. We've done that.
Yeah.
There's times that we ate shit on round two as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah.
And we have a rule. Like, if we get more than two questions wrong on round two points.
Yeah, we go through know that there's, like, more than two or three that we're not certain on.
Right.
That's kind of, 13 on the music round is kind of our Mendoza line.
Ours is it's funny. You guys are a higher bar. Ours is 24. If we have guaranteed 24 points.
Yeah.
Or, you know, confident 24 points, then we're jokering around two.
Yeah, well, we're confident that in the other rounds we can pick up points too.
Yeah, totally.
Where some people might not, so we're okay with that. But, like, yeah, if we get, I mean, we've had some music rounds where it's like we have like maybe six or eight and we're just like, I have no fucking clue what this is. And then we're just crossing our fingers for round eight to be something we all really know well.
Cats meowing covers, like, what the fuck? Yeah. Something like that. You're like, what?
Yeah.
There was one I played where it was songs all in a robot voice.
Mm.
And you go,
that was the worst.
Oh, you go, oh, fuck that.
Because you can't, there's no,
without the melody sometimes.
There's no, there's no timbre. You can't.
Yeah, it's too hard.
Tell what.
So, okay, another question, because we're actually rapidly approaching the end of our time together. If you guys, do you guys do the specialty quizzes, like Game of Thrones or
sometimes.
James Bond or anything?
The one, most of the specialty quizzes I am completely worthless in.
No shit. Really? That surprises me.
Most of the, I'm really good at non-geeky stuff. I mean, like sports, geography, government.
So, like, and existing in society types of things.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's more like stuff that,
civics class.
Yeah, it's more like if you paid attention in school, you know it.
Good.
As opposed to, like, how well do you know the Hunger Games or how well do you know the Harry Potter books?
Hold on. I want to ask you a follow-up question about this. So do you not have like some, like super nerd obsessions? When we were setting this up, you told me you're a fantasy football junkie.
Yeah.
I mean, sports is his obsession.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so you don't dig in deep on like the Marvel universe or like, you know, Harry Potter or whatever?
Not really. My wife is a lot more into that sort of thing. She's a major Harry Potter geek.
Okay. Interesting.
I do things like when I was a little kid, I would just look at road atlases.
Really?
And like draw out routes and stuff. And I've come up with road trips by doing that.
Just for
and
fun?
Like, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
We had a Marvel quiz a while back that I played with his wife.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Like I played on her team. Because I'm into like comic books and shit like that.
Okay.
I don't think have we ever done a theme quiz as a team? Just the Rumbles, right?
I write a little write a lot of the theme quizzes.
Like,
I'm prohibited from.
Wait,
I played with some other friends of ours on the Big Lebowski quiz.
Okay.
And that was a lot of fun because that's one of my favorite movies.
Did you go to the baseball quiz?
Yes, I did.
I did too. Yeah. And that one would have been just fine had they had a different quiz master.
Yeah.
Hi, Finnegan.
What's up, Kat?
We got the cat on the table. So, Julio, you were saying you write some of the
theme quizzes? A little bit, yeah. I don't write very much, but the ones that I do write are the ones, are usually the theme quizzes.
Okay. So which ones have you written on?
Hunger Games, Marvel, Game of Thrones, Ghostbusters quiz. Almost all of them. I usually try to get on them, so.
So do you geek out a little bit more? Do you have like more of the nerd obsessions?
A little bit, yeah. I definitely am a big Marvel Comics guy. I definitely like a lot of sci-fi shows and X-Files and Game of Thrones and nerdy stuff like that. But yeah, not, I'm not really into sports and, as much as these guys are, so I'm kind of useless for...
That makes you guys a good team though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you have overlapping knowledge... Game of Thrones though last year finally.
Yeah, I know it's an awesome show. I just, I cannot make myself give a shit. That's just, that's me.
My problem was, it was always something that I thought I might be into, but I didn't really start hearing about it until about 5 or 6 episodes in. And at that point, I was trying to watch an episode and like, who are all of these freaking characters?
Can't make sense. It's sort of unwieldy.
So I didn't get into it until last year because I was like, this one friend of ours has a party for the season premiere every year.
Okay.
And it's like, I do not want to be going to this thing yet again and not having any right. freaking clue what everybody around me
I need to be able to converse
about.
With people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
So we did like a whole binge of all the first 3 seasons
That sounds all right.
It was actually, it wound up being over the course of like 2 or 3 weekends, but,
gotcha.
I mean, there's been, some quizzes that I've wanted to go to, like he, yeah. like Julio writes for him, so he can't play.
Right.
Like the Star Wars quiz. And like I said, I played with Rob's wife and it was basically a team full of girls and me playing the Marvel quiz. They had like a Joss Whedon quiz,
yeah.
I think.
Oh yeah, the Whedonverse. Yeah, I remember that one.
I wanted to go to that one, but I couldn't get anyone to go with me.
Right.
You know, and I know it sounds weird, but I feel like I'm cheating on these guys if I play with other people.
That's actually really cute.
It is.
Well, I don't mind telling you that.
Well, I mean, it's just like, it's weird. Like, I can play quiz with anybody.
Right.
And like, I've done it for work, you know, get some work peeps out and there's like a team building exercise.
Right.
And it's just I look over and I'm like, I wish Rob and Julio were here
right.
because we would have gotten this.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And then, like, I'm looking at my coworkers like they're worthless.
So if there were a themed quiz, what that they haven't done, is there one that you guys would like to see?
Football?
Yeah, football would be a good one. I would like to see maybe one on, like, the Rat Pack.
The Interstate Highway System.
Eisenhower.
I would love one more that's like comics oriented because they had a Marvel Cinematic Universe one.
Okay, gotcha.
But they didn't have a Marvel Comics one. That'd be better.
Yeah, like if they did like all the comics instead of because the Cinematic Universe that was an interesting quiz because there were dudes like I thought it was a joke because a few years ago I bought a Captain America costume for Halloween and I was like, oh, maybe I should wear that to the quiz, but I was like, I want to be the only jackass in a and then I got there and there were just it was like Comic-Con. Everybody was wearing costumes.
Oh, that's too
like
funny.
Homemade things like
my friend in high school made a homemade stormtrooper outfit and went to the Phantom Menace premiere in it and then wore it to high school.
Yeah, see, I can't be that guy.
No.
Like, I'm a giant
Jesus
nerd
God.
When it comes to that like the Force Awakens trailer just came out, was it 2 weeks ago? Okay, I'm not ashamed to admit I've watched that trailer like 90 times.
Sure.
Probably. I've even watched YouTube videos of people reacting to the trailer. Like, yeah. You know, but I won't go to the movie dressed like Luke Skywalker. I won't do that.
It's not been officially diagnosed, but I'm about 99.999% sure I have Asperger's.
Okay.
And so.
Oh, you got something.
Yeah. So anytime I try to wear a costume of any kind, it like just sets off the whole sensory thing.
Oh, do you like, what happens? Do you like panic or?
Yeah.
Like claustrophobic because you wore a mask. Yeah. I got a great picture of him wearing a pigeon mask though. That was.
That lasted about 2 minutes, then I had to take the damn thing off because it was just too hot.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I think the fact that we're not Uberners actually is partly why we're a strong team because, you know, we're not like just super obsessed with like one, like Magic the Gathering or something really.
Yeah, you're not super deep into like one thing, right?
We have good broad knowledge of lots of subjects instead.
You know? I think one thing that really helps me is that, is actually while I'm working, I get to especially now that we're not taking phone calls. I work in a billing office and we were taking patient calls and that sort of thing. And, and that got outsourced to another company. So we're mainly just doing billing.
Okay.
And so I listen to podcasts all day while I'm doing that.
Oh, wow.
And, I'll listen to Stuff You Should Know, Stuff You Missed in History Class.
Have you ever listened to Good Job Brain?
No, I haven't.
That one is, those guys like pub quiz. I don't think they play Geeks Who Drink, but they'll do like, it's like a quiz themed podcast. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to it in a while, but they're good.
Dicker likes to use us as kind of guinea pigs. I think anytime there's a weird one-off situation where he can use us for something, he'll do it. Like when Bert Kreischer, the stand-up, had his, the hands of that show, Bert Conquers the World or whatever.
Yeah, Bert the Conqueror.
Yeah. He was going to do another show where he was just going to go, I don't know what the hell he was doing, drinking or something. I don't
yeah,
know.
It was.
He's the real life Van Wilder.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah, and so he came and played pub quiz and they filmed it, and so they wanted us to play against him.
Okay.
So it was a thing. It got to be a thing where, like, he would send over shots to try and get us hammered.
Oh, okay.
Send over shots to him and.
It backfired because
we won the quiz, but I was blackout drunk.
Yeah, yeah, I almost freaking died.
I
passed out in a Domino's.
But we beat him by like 30 points. Yeah. Jesus.
No, like because he got a team together of all, was it like DU professors?
Oh, yeah. He's a professor of marketing. Like that's something that you could be successful.
I didn't know
in
you could be a professor of marketing.
Plus, the one thing that he didn't realize is that the Cliff Clavin adage actually is true. That alcohol actually really does just kill the weaker brain cells.
Right.
And I'm totally better at quiz after I've had two or three beers in me.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's like playing beer pong.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to sort of an almost like a dialed in like zen
state. Yeah, it's a lot easier to just kind of.
Yeah.
So, okay, that brings me to a question they always ask on the like Meet Your Quizmaster blog.
Yeah.
Are you guys more geek or drink?
Well, I'm more drink.
Okay. Russ says drink.
I'm probably more geek.
Rob
occasionally
more geek.
I should achieve a bit of a balance, but I'm definitely more geek.
Okay. Julio?
Oh, I'm definitely more geek, but
okay.
Not geeky about one thing, geeky about kind of everything.
Yeah. Okay.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah. And
and you're here on John of all trades, so yeah. Fucking A.
Yeah. That's, I think that especially with the three of us, I think what helps us a lot is, I mean, we're curious about stuff.
Yeah.
We'll just keep looking into stuff and eventually we'll kind of get that imprinted on our heads and eventually it'll come up in a quiz.
Just general intellectual curiosity.
Yeah. Like you get those Uncle John's, like those bathroom readers.
Yeah.
I read like 19 of those. I think there's like
a what are those? Yeah, Dr. John's.
Something.
Uncle John's.
But Uncle John's. But yeah, you read those and you just get all kinds of random information to watch it. Documentary because I can't sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know?
Oh yeah, I remember when I was working on my thesis when I was in college, my senior year. I was up all night, every night for about 2 months straight.
Wow!
And we didn't have cable. The thing that kept me from going completely insane was watching PBS at 3 a.m.
Wow!
That's when they save all their interesting shit for.
I think things
that they think will be too specialized for their general audience to really care about at 8 o'clock at night. They'll show it at 3 o'clock.
Okay, gotcha. That's awesome.
And I edit Wikipedia, so there you go.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Well, then fuck.
No, I think we're just curiosity and the want to learn helps. Like what you said earlier, when people say like I'm no good at quiz and they never play it,
right?
Like everybody's good at pub quiz.
Yeah.
It depends on what. Maybe you're having an off day. Maybe
Some people are not good at calling facts to memory.
Right.
Which, okay, fine. I grant that. But a lot of people go in with a real defeatist attitude.
No, but
and there's a lot of like misplaced modesty, in my opinion.
And that's what's so great about Geeks Who Drink is because you're not taking a test.
Right.
You don't have to come up with it by yourself. You can sit there and talk to your friends and figure it out, and maybe that'll jog your memory. You know, that's why
totally.
I tell people when they say, I suck at pub quiz, I say, give Geeks Who Drink a shot.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's not like any other quiz you played. And it's really more of a social event.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got some, I consider these guys among my best friends.
Yeah. And you know, basically, this is, I owe my entire social life since I've moved to Denver to pub quiz, pretty much.
I mean,
that's awesome.
You really do get to know people. I mean, it's, I mean, I'm, like I said, I'm more drink than geek because I really love to socialize.
Yeah.
Like I'm a social introvert. Like I love to be at home by myself.
Yeah, me too.
But if I'm out, I might as well just go all 100%, you know?
Right.
It's great. That's why I love Geek Bowl because like they have like the night before you have a party.
Yeah.
And you can mingle with everybody. And then the quiz itself is this huge. It's like,
yeah, big production. Yeah, like, it's just fun, dude.
They're gonna have the Dan Band.
I know the Dan Band. I'm looking.
Oh, that's gonna be fat, dude.
Sweet.
So you guys are going this year?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You guys gonna win it this year?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We're not one of those modest people. We pretty much know we're gonna win, and we're the best team around.
We go into it thinking we're gonna win every year.
Good. Good. Well, fucking A.
If you're not gonna win?
Who's playing with you guys this year?
It's three of us: Mondo and Jesus and Tequila.
Whoa! All right, yeah. Getting the band back together,
that's
huh?
The team we've had the last several Geek Bowls.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
We've gone by the first year.
It was just Jesus Tequila and the Slump Busters.
Jesus Tequila and the Slump Busters.
That's right.
And then we were the Unholy Voltron.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah,
year.
we had the shirts made with the backwards Voltron logo.
Nice.
Then we were Hey Fourth Place Get Off the Stage. this year we're going as JT Slump and Stuff.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
It's lyrical.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Getting the perspective of the players and players such a... Oh, fuck, no. One more question. Why do they call you Evil Rob?
I actually can't really explain that.
Look at him. I mean, this is...
Yeah, like evil goatee.
I mean, I know it's kind of an ironic thing.
Like metal. You know, yeah, it's
evil. Yeah, my wife can probably explain it a lot better than I can.
Your wife ain't here, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I think it's really more of an ironic thing because he's really not at all.
Evil. Well, you seem to be kind of a sweetheart, dude. Yeah.
He is. He's the sweetest guy you'll ever meet.
I mean, your cat's like me.
Totally, dude.
Yeah. I mean, he's huge.
Right.
He's like, what are you, like 6'6"?
6'4".
6'4"?
Yeah.
6'4", three bills.
Right.
Sweet guy. But.
But everyone knows you as Evil Rob.
Yeah.
Of the Slump Busters, so it's like, oh shit, I better not fuck with that guy. Yeah. Yeah. Weird, right?
He's the muscle. That's what it is.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Appreciate you very much being here. Fucking kick-ass Geek Bowl. Yeah. And we'll see you at a quiz.
Are you playing Geek Bowl this year?
I'm not going to be there this year.
Then
no,
we will kick ass.
Okay. You'd kick our ass anyway because we're a team full of Randy Foyers.
Just a team full of character actors. Yeah. I gotcha.
Team full of role players. No leading parts. All right. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
And that wraps up episode 42 of the John of All Trades podcast. Big thanks to the Slump Busters for sitting in my kitchen and just chatting with me about how they came together as a team and just geeking out over pub quiz. They are headed down to Geek Bowl, and I don't think they would mind me saying they welcome your competition. Give it your best shot. Take them on. They're there for the taking. They are ready to smack you down as they have done to me many, many times. So good luck to them at Geek Bowl. Coming up February 7th at the Isleta Resort and Casino in Albuquerque, New Mexico, February 7th. Tickets are available at geeksodrink.com. I am on the web at johnofalltrades.us on iTunes and Stitcher. Feel free to download us at either of those places. And when you do, hey, take some time. Give us a review. Give us a rating. Tell me what you think of the show. I'd love to hear it. Also, that helps my algorithm as I move up in iTunes and Stitcher. So, that'll do it for this week. This was just the first of four in Geeks Who Drink Month. So make sure you come back next week. I talk to a Quizmaster. We reveal new episodes every Monday. Facebook, J-O-A-T Pod. Twitter, J-O-A-T Pod. Hit me up at both those locations. You stay up to date on all the John of All Trades news and all sorts of good stuff. I'll have blog posts throughout the week from time to time. I'm going to try and get more active with that throughout the year. We'll see how the year unfolds. We'll see how the professional life unfolds. But I guarantee you, every week, new content, three more shows about Geeks Who Drink leading up to Geek Bowl. I am out of here. We will see you next week with the Quizmaster. And I close every show by saying good night, Gracie.